Hey everybody, happy new year. Welcome back to the Full Cup. I'm Libby Switzer, your host, sitting here today with my dad, Craig Berthold. And today we are going to be talking a little bit about repentance. This is more of like a faith-based recording than, well, I mean, I guess all of our sessions are pretty faith-based, but anyway, here we go. One of the reasons I wanted to address this topic is because I just feel like for me personally, I remember as a kid trying to repent from something and just feeling like I haven't felt bad enough, or I haven't cried hard enough or had enough guilt or whatever it may be. Or maybe I was repenting from something I knew I was going to do again. And so then I would just think, well, I'm not going to repent because I'm going to do it again. And I don't have the willpower or the strength to not, where I think that is a great way to distance yourself from your Heavenly Father. And I think that's a trick that Satan plays on us. Yeah. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about that today and see what you had to say. I know when I was a kid also in like the 90s, that talk came out by Ezra Taft Benson on repentance. And he talked about teshub, which just meant to turn from or to have a change of heart, I remember. And that's not as easy as it sounds, but honestly, it sounds a lot easier than like asking for forgiveness, mourning and feeling bad, talking to your bishop, like the four steps or whatever, which I know are important still, but when you can say like, no, it means to turn from, have a change of heart, want to do something different, that feels a lot more loving, like a loving commandment instead of you better not, you know, shaking your finger at a person.
I'd like you to go a little bit longer with that. Not only shub, which is turn from, that was in Hebrew. And then for Hebrew, it's changed to the Greek. And in the Greek, the word came out with meta neo eo. Meta means change. Neo eo means your mind, your heart, your spirit. So you change your heart, you change your mind. But it was changed when it went from Greek into Latin, and the word came out as poenitere. And poenitere is the same word that is used in guilt, suffering, punishment. Poenitere is actually the Latin word that they use in punishment. Mm-hmm. And so many people started to take shub to metaneoio to poenitere. And that's why you see a lot of people who feel guilty for years and years. Who's the guy that wants us to feel captive to those things for the rest of our lives and feel miserable over some of the stupid things that we've done? Now, I would agree, we have to recognize this has been wrong. There has to be a recognition that what I've done has been wrong. I have hurt someone, hurt myself. I've done something that's not good. Mm-hmm. So we've got to recognize that.
Yes, and I agree. And I think the tricky part with that is that for me, when I would realize I'd done something wrong or I knew, and then I felt bad about it, and I didn't like that feeling. So instead of saying, how can I get rid of this feeling? I need to do what's right. Well, I'm not doing what's right, and I can't, and I'm just feeling worse and worse. So instead, I'm going to decide, you know what? There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. And the people in the church who are telling me that there's something wrong, they're wrong. And I'm just going to get out of here and not really have much to do with this place anymore because I don't like this feeling I'm having. And I think that's like, for me, that was a real process of like, yeah, I'm good. I don't like to feel bad. So if I just decide the church isn't true, then I don't have to feel that bad anymore.
And lots of people leave their faith many, many times.
Yeah.
Millions of times because they feel pain over it and suffering. And Lucifer would have them feel captive to those things. And to get over it, I'm just going to leave the church and not believe in it. However, the idea of repentance is really a wonderful psychological skill to help teach people things and learn amazing things from it. It's a major key to recognize what I have done was not the best thing for me, and I need to take a look at it. But the other thing that we need to talk about, I believe, people want to just fix it on themselves and say, okay, I'm not going to go to church anymore, or I'll just change the way I believe it. I'm not going to feel badly about that. The amazing thing is, we talked about last time, and you've heard me talk about before, the first principle of the gospel is what?
Faith.
It's not Jesus Christ. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I'm just doing it on my own and I'm not developing faith or sinning more and more dear down the path that God will wash this from me, God will help me with this, I need to talk with God a lot with him. But be careful once again, because a lot of times Lucifer has turned the idea of Jesus Christ as it's captivity. He's disappointed in you. He's angry with you. You've messed up so horribly. Please, I tell people, remember the Savior that I believe says, Craig, sometimes you're an idiot because you got the red and white working together and you do some stupid things, but I'm never going to stop loving you, Craig. In the book of Malachi, he talks about in the last chapter of the Old Testament, that's what he says. I'll never, ever stop loving you. Even if you mess up, I'll make you, you repent. I'll wash it off you. I love you so much, I'll keep bringing back. But a lot of people interpret, no, he's disappointed in me.
And he only loves me if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, which I think is, that's tricky because, you know, we're taught, keep the commandments. In this, there is safety. In this, there's peace. That's true. But I think those are the things we need to remember. Like, we're given these commandments to keep us safe, to give us peace, to help our lives be easier. But I think a lot of us are grown up being taught, keep the commandments if you want God to love you. If you want blessings in your life, then you better keep the commandments. But like you talked about earlier, like when your mom died, we were talking a little bit earlier, you know, you prayed, help me find my marbles, right? And you found your marbles.
That's right, I did.
And your mom got sick. And what do you have to do? Well, if you're obedient and you're doing what's right, you just got to pray and God's going to say, okay, your mom will live. But that isn't how life works. We come to this earth to experience life, and things will happen to us. We might get cancer. We're not immune to the laws of nature. But God can help us through those difficulties. He doesn't always take them away from us, but he's there if we want him to help us, to provide that safety and peace in our life. But I think there's a big thing where people believe God will only love me if I'm keeping the commandments.
Well, let's ask that question with your children, Libby. If we're sitting out in the front yard, drinking a lemonade, sitting at the table, my youngest grandson runs out into the street and there's cars are driving up and down the street. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm going to yell at him to get out of the street.
Is that to prove that he's a good child and proving himself to you? Or is he doing it because you love him and don't want him to get hit?
Right, yeah.
But so many times we get so caught up into the guilt that, oh no, he's angry with me, he's disappointed in me, all of those kinds of things. And what I'll tell you, he will forever, ever love me and you, no matter what. And that's what Malachi says. In Malachi, he even talked about that some of the people messed up in the scriptures. Some of the Israelis, when Moses was up in the mountains, they started cooking some gold and making calves and worshiping those. Did he say, hey, I'm really upset with you guys? Well, he probably was a little upset. But did he say, so I'm going to fry you and never make it back for you? Or is he still going to say, I still love you? Pull your head out. Come on. I still love you. Everything he's ever said is out of his love for us. And the things he even tells us what we need to do isn't to see if we pass the test or measure up, because we know, I love you, Craig, and everything I've ever told you to do is right and good for you. You were talking about, how did you repent when you were a child? I'm just not going to go to church because I'm bothered so much. I'm upset about this. Well, I'd like to go back to some things that we talked last session when we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Dan. We talked about this. Why did they make it through the fire? Why did the lions not grab them? Well, they had faith. Mm-hmm. How did they create faith? Did they do it one time? Or had they been spending time, years, reading, studying, believing in this Jesus Christ? Remember, I told you when I was six, I have the faith. I lost my marbles. I found them. Then my mother got sick, and I said, well, I have the faith. She'll live. And she died. I went, oh, wait. No, no, okay. Then my grandmother took care of me. She got sick. Oh, no, she'll live. She'll live. I have faith. She'll live. And she died, too. And then my other grandmother, she'll take care of me. And she died, too. And I go, oh, my goodness. Well, maybe there isn't. And then when they said, you can't live here anymore, and my parents, I said, please bless me that I'll be a good little boy, and my mom will quit hating me and bless me. Nope. Still said, you're out on the street.
Yeah, new mom. Your new mom kicked you out.
Okay. Right. And please know I love her very much. For what did it teach me? Did it come right away, the answer to those prayers? Did it come immediately? I know now that God loves me. Or did I have to spend those 22 years, which I did, studying, going back to church, finding him, reading scriptures, and literally sending more and more deer down the path and creating deeper neural pathways of belief in him. So when the trials come into my life, including repentance, I can then sit there and know it's gone. I remember one time after feeling guilty about some of the things I had done as a young boy, as even as a young man. I was sitting in a church meeting one day, and the fellow speaking said, it was an answer what he said to a number of people I've been treating, because I've seen people over the years, how do I know when it's forgiven? For repentance, how do I know I feel like I've repented? And I said, I've been to this bishop and that count and that. I've been to all these people, different priests. How do I know that it's gone? How do I know? And sitting in the class, I was thinking about, I guess we all need to send more deer down the trail and trust him that he does love us, that he did hang on the cross for us, that he will wash this from us. We have to believe in that. We have to trust in that. Sitting in the class, the fellow said, but what he found is that people know when they've been repented, when they once again feel the Spirit in them again. He said very clearly, the Spirit cannot enter anything when it's not cleansed. But when it's cleansed, you can feel that it's gone. I listened to this man said that, and all of a sudden tears started running down my cheeks going, I'm sitting in this class. I feel this feeling, this burning desire. I feel God loves me. Holy mackerel. Ever since then, I've been telling people in my office, how long does it take? Oh, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks. I don't think it takes that long. I had a bishop tell me one time in a meeting, he said, to the kids. We were working with the 16 to 19-year-old kids. I was teaching the class. It was about repentance. I said, how long does it take for us to repent when we sinned? One of the boys said, well, it might take a couple of years for really bad things. Another kid said, maybe 6 months, maybe just a few minutes. I said, I think when I really started to understand, once I turned all the crap that I've been through into wisdom, once I got my eyes open, we've used this line, blessed be the name of God, for through my transgressions, my eyes are opened, and now I shall have joy for the remainder of my life. And even the next verse jumped in and said, had it not been for our transgression, we never should have had seed, children, nor tasted the joy of our redemption. Whoa, it's washed. We feel redeemed. It's a wonderful feeling. My very wise bishop said, well, I disagree with all of you. I said, whoa, okay, bishop, what's up? What he told us, he said, it was taken from you 2,000 years ago. You just haven't given it to him yet. And it takes maybe a while to trust, to send more deer down the path is what I'm adding. So you to believe that he is there and he will take it. And you have to develop that kind of faith in you by sending more and more deer down the pathway. Is that making sense?
Yeah, it does. I think that for you, you're like, I have 20 years of practice of doing this. And I know a lot of us who have grown up in the church feel like, well, I've had a lifetime of learning about how to do this. But I mean, for me, it feels very far away still. So I think it's just starts with the little things that you learn about in church.
But don't you believe that that's the difficulty that everybody has? Remember, the soul is made from the body and the spirit. What I call the body is the temple, carnal, sexual, animalistic, the physical, fighting with the divinity, the spirit. And everybody has that duality. We talked about this before. It's the duality of mankind is the plan of God. And the guy wearing the black hat's in charge of the red stuff. He says, my job in the big meeting says, I'm going to make you captive.
Yeah.
And how many people are captive to things that they've done? And yet they say, when is God going to take this from me? I said, well, once again, is it God takes it, or is the first principle of the gospel Jesus Christ, or faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's one of the greatest lines to me.
Yeah.
It's too many people say, when's he going to take it from me? When's he going to wash it? And I say, well, okay, why don't you spend a few more days, a few more hours, maybe a few weeks, maybe a few years. I don't think you have to do that long. Trusting him, bringing him more into your life than he's ever been in your life. And as you send more and more deer down the pathway, create deeper and deeper neural pathways, create the web covering the brain that face all of the repentant things, all of the trials that you have. If you keep doing that, it's probably one of the reasons I've turned into such a Jesus freak myself. You remember when you were a kid? I mean, you know, you guys had to talk to me to get to church, remember?
Yeah.
That was, I don't know, 40 years ago when you were just a little girl. Oh, that's right. You're just 40 now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think I kind of have a problem with that script, as if it's a scripture, that the spirit doesn't dwell in unholy places. And I think I had a experience when I worked at Farmington Bay Youth Correctional Facility with young kids. And I actually like still feel awful from this experience I had with a kid who was there. And he was a member of the church, and he was struggling and trying to, you know, bring, like, have spiritual experiences while in this facility. And that topic came up of how the spirit cannot dwell in unholy places. And I think I like said to him, like, yeah, good luck in here, because it's not here. And I just think, like, after watching the show The Chosen, Christ spends all of his time with people who are, you know, in a bar or in somewhere where you would think it's not a holy place.
But
and
it's
so
there.
So I think that's why I don't like that saying, because I disagree with it. I think the spirit can be anywhere, and Christ can be anywhere. And yes, you can make poor choices that will not allow you to feel the promptings of the spirit. But I think also sometimes when you make those poor choices, the spirit goes, hey, no, you know better than that. Like, I don't know. So that's a tricky little.
Well, I think that can get you into trouble when you get into a contest about that. Is he there? Is he not there?
Yeah.
Do you remember those 8 years of child protection?
Right.
I went into a home one night. Horrible things were going on there. And the party had just broken up. And the mother called and said, would you come and take my child? When I came in, I was sitting on the couch talking to the mother. She came, wanted me there to take the two-year-old child. Was the spirit with her at that time? I believe that it was. Dad walked in. As he walked in the front door, he thought I was a John trying to score again with his wife that he was pimping. And I said, whoa, no. She called for me to pick up the child. And he pulled out his 9mm and cocked it and put it about four feet away from my head. I don't think the spirit was hissing right there. okay, I was trying to feel the spirit. But within 2 hours, they loaded up all the guns, all the stuff, and we booked the kid down to shelter, and they drove down with me. He told me to keep all of his guns and everything because he's afraid he's going to kill himself and his wife. And a month later, I took him all their guns. And about 6 months to 10 months later, they got their lives turned around. The child was returned. As far as I know, everything worked out, and they stopped doing those kinds of parties and craziness that they had been doing. Was the spirit there? Maybe a few people brought him there. But you've probably been in places before. Have you ever been around? As a beautiful young girl, maybe you went someplace and you just felt like, this place doesn't feel like a safe place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So you might want to get out of there.
Yeah.
There may still be some spirituality there. But what's going to be more powerful? Those people who might want to do horrible things that are doing horrible things?
Mm-hmm.
This is the world that we live in. And the world is filled with red things and absolutely white. And there's much more white than there is red. But sometimes we lose track of that. When you're around all the horrors, all of those things. I know it was messing with me when I had all those dead children in that 1 year period. I was pretty miserable.
Another thing I like that you talk about, just teaching about the sacrament and how you can have his spirit to be with you. And you would always talk about how simple it was. From what I remember with you talking about the sacrament and to have his spirit with him is that the prayer says two specific things, one of which is remember him, and the other is to keep his commandments. And I remember you used to always just say, it's that simple. It's not easy. It's not always easy to keep the commandments. But if you're keeping the commandments, stop what you're doing and just think about him. Remember him. Do you remember him? Okay, then you can have his spirit to be with you. And it's that simple. And it really is. It's pretty amazing. I mean, I think if you take the time, even just right now, we can sit here for a few minutes and just think about him and we'll have the spirit to be with us, which is an amazing promise that we get from the sacrament every week.
Libby, this happens every day in my office. And I see people who are either agnostic or even atheists. And I say, well, let's imagine that you have a supreme being for a minute. So let's say this person is going to deal with the issue of the abuse that they went through years ago with their husband or something that happened to their childhood or their serious depression. And so what we'll do is we'll do some gestalt work and they'll put maybe their father who abused them in the chair in front of them and say, I'm not going to let you bother me anymore. Then you move over and becomes the dad. And the dad, oh, I can still mess. What are you talking about? I've messed with you over 30 years. You can't get free from me. And sit back and cry and say, I don't know if I can do this. This is a story I will tell you about. This is a lady I saw years ago. She had been kidnapped and by a man who taped her mouth and took her out and put her in a shed. And
she was leaving a bar. She was leaving a bar and she got kidnapped, right?
Yes, yes. And left and was left there for 4 days. He would come out daily, several times a day, and attack her and rape her and do these things and put her in the hospital. She just about died. They found her eventually. I won't go into all the details. That happened when she was in her 20s. When I met her, she was in her 40s. She'd been in and out of therapy. She had left religion because her father had always told her, well, the reason this happened is because you quit going to church and you go out drinking with your friends and you brought it upon yourself. Well, that made her feel very bitter and angry about God and her father and how could they say something so horrible that this would happen because I was out kissing on some boyfriend or drinking a little bit. And so she turned completely against it. So one day I said, okay, we're going to bring the perpetrator in. She said, I can't do this. And I said, just try. And she started crying, shaking. I said, okay, we won't. I said, do you have a belief system? No. Did you ever have a belief system? Oh, yeah. I used to go to church when I was a little girl. I was a good little Catholic girl. Okay, good. How old? Oh, all my childhood. Well, great. Did you have a picture of Jesus? Well, yeah. Okay, what we're going to do now is I'd like you to pretend you're a great actress. And if you do this well enough, I'm going to give $1 million in your next part in your movie. So I'd like you to just pretend now as you're sitting here, just pretend that that person that you imaged when you were 10 is sitting behind you. Can you okay this, that before the dad stuff got into it, would you agree that that guy did love you? That did the 10-year-old believe he loved you? Yeah. Okay. Put him behind you. Got him there? Yeah. Okay. Now we're going to bring the guy in the room. Okay. And she got scared and I said, all right, he's sitting in front of you now. And now I'd like you to tell him what you did was horrible. And this has messed with me for all these 30 years. And I'm going to get free from you. She started crying. I said, now, I'd like you to, if you can, I'd like you to just move over and pretend that you're that perp who's in prison today. I think he may have been, he's died now. And she sat over there, and I said to him, do you see who's sitting? Yes. Do you see who's sitting beside her? No? Okay, come on back. I said, I'd like you to imagine now that you're sitting here, and sitting next to you is your belief system of the 10-year-old that believed in God, and he's in the picture with you. Okay, now tell him, I'm done with you, and I'm going to get free from you. Move over and become him. Did you hear what she said? And see, yeah, but I think I could still mess with her. Come on back. I said, now I want to ask some questions of your belief system, not mine, but I'd like to ask you that you're 10. This guy, Jesus, that's sitting here, do you believe in this little girl? Uh-huh. Do you love her? Uh-huh. Even though she's had some will we have difficulties in this world? Yeah. Will you be with her and help her get through this? Yeah. Do you love her? Yeah. That 10-year-old, does she love you? Yeah. Okay. Then I turned to her and I said, did you hear what he said? The 10-year-old loves her. Would you like to love him? I'd like to, I guess. Let's put your dad in the chair. Dad, I'm getting free from you. You messed me up. Okay, did that. Got free from dad and what he had said to her. Then went back. Okay, Jesus loves me and I love him. Then said to the guy, I'm done. I will never let you mess with me again. Moved back over. And he said, I can't mess with you anymore unless you let me. She sat back and said, you've messed with me for over 20 years, no more, because my big brother sitting next to me that I believe in, the 10-year-old, and I'm believing in him now more than ever. I'm not going to let you mess with me anymore. Sat back and said, I'm done with you. And the guy said, I believe you. I said, is there anything else you want to say to him? No, he's done. Get out of here. I'll never see him again. He's over. It's done. Now, she said she felt really well. She felt so well that she went back to college. Got her MSW, goes all over teaching people about how to overcome horrible, horrible things. So it's amazing what you can do. Maybe the 48, 50-year-old woman had lost him because it forgotten about him. But the 8-year-old, the 6-year-old, the 5-year-old, the 10-year-old, all of the little girl that lived inside of her still had all of those lenses, all of those neurological unconscious submodalities of deer going down the trail that she believed when she was a little Catholic girl, that she believed in it. And so bringing those pieces of history up to the 50-year-old, and you can create those things. And she kicked butt and took names. What happened? Was it Jesus? I think it was Jesus. Was it Jesus alone? No. Did she have to stack up some anchors, what we would call neurological unconscious submodalities, or deer down the trail, or whatever language you want to use? Is that what she's done by creating more neural pathways that he's there? Can she accomplish all kinds of things? Is that how Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego got through the fire? Is that how it happened? Did it happen just one night, or did it take a while to do it? Or maybe they had already been doing it and hadn't put it out of their minds. How many people feel guilt and horrible over their guilt and suffering because of the red and white and what they felt because maybe their teacher said, oh, you're going to hell, oh, or Lucifer whispered, oh, you're so horrible. And Christ says, bring it to me. I'll wash it off you. You can shub it, turn from it. You can metanoeo, change your mind. You don't have to go aponeter, which is feel punishment and horrible. You can do those other ways of having things taken care of. But is it him? It is, but it's your belief in him. So what's the first principle of the gospel? Is it Jesus Christ or faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's all of us creating this belief system, these stacked anchors of belief that we can accomplish anything that this world throws at it. There's nothing, I believe, that can't be accomplished if you keep sending deer down the path that he loves you, he'll walk with you, and he'll never abandon you. Jesus Christ loves us. Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, they'll be with us. My knowledge of the love that I have for him and the love that he has for me more than anything. I never thought that was even possible. And now I know it's real. We can live in the red, and he might want to slap us a little bit because he loves us so much. Because I think his biggest fear, this is a book written a couple of years ago, can't even remember the name of it, but he said the only reason he cries is because when we're doing the things in the red stuff, he can't be as close to them as he wants to be. And that's the only time he tears, because he wants to be with us constantly. Answered enough of it?
Sounds good. Yeah.
We skipped all the stuff that we started with.
So. That's all right. Perfect. Okay. It was great. Okay. Thanks, Dad. Happy New Year, everyone. We hope you have a fabulous new start to this new 2023. Oh, my head. That's crazy. All right. Thanks for listening. See ya.
Thank you all. See you soon. Bye-bye.